This morning's reading is from Matthew 25, 31 to 46. I don't think we have it to show on the screen this morning, so if you have your Bibles with you, you can follow along there. So in this piece of the Bible, Jesus and the disciples were on the Mount of Olives. This is when Jesus was speaking to them about end days. Earlier that same day, Jesus and the disciples had been in the temple in Jerusalem, and he delivered a very strong condemnation to the chief priests and the Pharisees in the temple. And that was in front of a crowd of people. He called them hypocrites and blind fools and snakes and blood of vipers. And it was at that point that the Pharisees really got serious about plotting against Jesus. And of course, 3 days beyond this point of this reading, that was to be the day of his crucifixion. Anyway, so let's go to, 25:31. And this is the sheep and the goats. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take my inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of my brothers of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those to his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or needing clothes, or sick or in prison, and did not help you?" He will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteousness will have eternal life. And this is the word of the Lord.
I wrote it down. he's a graduate of the program, and he's a development officer here in Alberta, and we've got Daniel and Braden, and I'm just going to turn the service over to you gentlemen, and you can take it from here. Thanks so much. Actually, you know what? Let's just open it over. Let's pray for you guys, okay? Father, we just thank you so much for your servants here today, and for what you're going to say through them, and their faithfulness to you, and their commitment to you. And we just thank you, Lord. Pray, Lord, that you would make things straight in their minds so they can articulate what you have on their hearts, Lord. And we look forward to that. Bless them, Lord. Bless them greatly. Anoint them with your Holy Spirit for this morning. In your name we pray, Lord. Amen.
Awesome. Thank you. Good morning. I'm just going to lower this. All right. How's that? I can see you. One second. It seems like we were here just yesterday. Thanks again, Tim, for the introduction, the prayer. We sure appreciate that. And we always like to open in prayer as well. So just, Lord, I just ask as we come to you today that, Lord, your voice is louder than ours. That, Lord, they see you, not us. Be with the men as they share a message of hope, of changed lives. Pray this in your son's mighty name. Amen. I always like to start out with how many people are, being that Clive is one of our local mission partners, how many people have not heard of Teen Challenge? Okay. Well, hey, that confirms what I was sharing with the men on the way here. They said, are you going to share your testimony today? And I said, no, I've shared it every time I came. They could probably do my testimony for me. So we're going to mix it up a bit this morning. As you know, Teen Challenge is a 12-month faith-based drug and alcohol rehabilitation center, and it helps men between the ages of 18 to 65. So if you can get over the teen part, you're halfway there. There's a lot of good treatment programs out there. Most secular programs have about a 5 to 10% success rate for those who graduate stay clean. I remember Charlie Sheen when he was going off the rails on national TV. One of the reporters said to him, why don't you go to a program? And this is someone who is making $1 million an episode of his program. And he said, why would I go to a program with only a 5% success rate? He said, I have better odds at home. Teen Challenge is significantly higher. Our national director doesn't like us quoting a study that we've been quoting because it's not a recent study. But he is comfortable with us sharing that for those that graduate, surveyed 5 years after graduation, 50% are free from addiction, positively contributing to society. They did some studies to disprove that, and they realized it was a bit higher and attributed to the Jesus factor. So when you have someone that is in a highly addictive lifestyle, sometimes it's subtle. But the end is always the same. And they go to a treatment program and get free from drugs and alcohol, but they don't have Christ. Where's the freedom? And one of the stats our director shares is that 100% of our students are exposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. What I'd like to do is introduce you to our team. We have a short video of Stephen's story. And then we have a drama called Reality Is. And then I'd like you to hear from the men themselves. So without further ado, our most senior student with us today is Brother Daniel. Let's give Brother Daniel a warm welcome. And Brother Braden, let's give him a warm welcome. Brother Braden is not only new to the outreach doing outreaches, so take it easy on him. He's also the youngest guy in the program. So if we could play this video, this is called Stephen's Story.
Hard partying. Drug using, bike riding, party animal. That's who I was. If you were to meet me 10 years ago, wow, you would have seen one mess of a person, extreme crack addict and coke addict, lived the nightlife and slept all day. My home had become a crack house, so there was people coming in all the time just to get high, and police were visiting on a regular basis at least once a month for the 2 years I lived in that house. In October, I just accomplished something that I really wanted to do in life, and I had succeeded at that, so I selfishly wanted to go and pick up some cocaine. My friends whose home I was visiting, they begged me not to go, and And in my mind, I was sober. I mean, I had drank and drove in much worse shape. Well, I got on my Harley, and 15 minutes later, I went into a little S bend, and I collided with a car, and it immediately removed most of my foot. In a blink of an eye, my life was altered forever. A friend of mine had just done a couple year stint in prison, and he came over and we were having a party at my house, and he told me the biggest lie in the world when he says, "Hey, you know, when you do coke, you're just wasting it, man. It ain't real until you feel the steel." I tried it that day, and my life was never the same since. When I was an addict, I was a functioning user, which meant that I could control everything in my life, even though I still needed the drugs. When I became a junkie, that's when I lost control. The need for the drug overcame everything else. So here I am at this very low point of my life where I just wanted the world to stop and let me get off. And I wheeled my car into this empty parking lot and was reflecting on all the poor choices I've made in my life and how much damage I've caused to myself and to my family. And I knew right there I did not want to live anymore. And I prepped this syringe with a lethal dose of cocaine and rolled up my sleeve and tied off. And as I was squeezing this plunger full of cocaine into my arm, it's like, what is going on? It's like it's plugged, and I'm squeezing so hard that the plunger arm is bending. And I was frustrated and angry, and I punching the roof of my car, and I was screaming at the top of my lungs. And later on, when I checked that syringe, it wasn't plugged at all. And when I reflect back now and look at that moment, I knew that God was not done with me yet, that He had something more for me. And He spared me that day. My mother had to come and find me. My mother knew that I was really struggling, and she came to tell me about this Teen Challenge program and explained a bit about it. And I didn't want anything to do with it, but I knew I needed help. So she took me to her church where the Teen Challenge Choir was performing. And that was my first real introduction to Teen Challenge. My mother had said, "You know, wait here, I got to go do something." And two choir members came out named Marty and John, and they shared their stories with me that day. And it was awesome to hear that these guys, their old lives mirrored my life. What I was going through at that time. And I put myself on the waiting list that day to get into the Teen Challenge program. Transformation did not come overnight. You know, I was wrestling with myself, with the staff. I was dealing with issues of pride and guilt and shame. And my year at Teen Challenge was a gradual thing, and realizing, you know, the freedom in forgiveness to forgive others and accept forgiveness. But the hardest for me was to forgive myself for the things that I've done. And that year at Teen Challenge, I discovered that
I didn't need to be macho Steve, that I could just be me without any drugs or alcohol.
Since completing the Teen Challenge program, I'm an ambassador for Teen Challenge. I'm currently at Bible College. I've met the love of my life while I was there, and I've been married a little over a year now, and we're expecting our first child soon. I've got that joy in here that I couldn't find through the poke of a needle or at the end of a crack pipe or at the bottom of a bottle. You know, I have showed people the scars on my arms from the thousands of times I've stuck needles in them, the collapsed veins. And, you know, I just thank God for a ministry like Teen Challenge that he used to give me my life back.
This is one of the realities of the very nature that Teen Challenge gets to be part of in men's and women's lives. You know, when I went in the program in 2007, Steve was senior to me by 6 months. Once he graduated, he went on to Bible school, like you mentioned, and he's since graduated and is now the first boots on the ground to open an Ottawa Valley Center. So what the enemy said is not possible. God says, just watch me. And that's one of the reasons I've stayed with the ministry. We pray your kingdom come and your will be done on earth. And when you see guys come in fighting, the more of the fight in them, some guys fight it for a month after being in the program, for 3 months, for 6 months. And the more of the fight in their heart, just shows how much of the world is in their heart. And our prayer is by the time they graduate that they're no longer subject to the law, but the Spirit. And so for those that support our ministry, we want to thank you for standing in the gap for guys like Steve, myself, and these men here. If you could help me give a warm welcome to our team as we present Reality Is.
What is reality?
Reality is feeling unloved and unwanted from a very early age from constant bullying.
What is reality?
Turning to the wrong crowd to try to find an identity. Starting a party life to try to fit in. And what is reality? Becoming so depressed from the constant use and relapses with drugs that they no longer suppress my feelings, that it has made it feel worse and worse daily, and suicide became a daily thought. How do I know that's reality? Because that was me.
What is reality? Reality is being introduced to heroin at age 15. What is reality? Reality is seeing one of your best friends overdose and die beside you, not being able to help him. What is reality? Reality is spending your 21st birthday behind bars. How do I know that's reality? Because that was me.
What is reality? Reality is being sexually abused as a child and not knowing it's wrong because you trusted them. What is reality? Reality is becoming such a junkie that you choose drugs and alcohol over your own children. And reality? Reality is choosing the powder on the table over those who love you the most. How do I know that's reality? Because that was me.
Even though Dave, Braden, and myself have different realities, we all have been changed by the amazing truth. And the truth is that even in my darkest times, God never forsakes me or never left me. He was always with me. The truth is that I am fully and wholly loved in Christ Jesus, and I have found my identity through him. And the truth is that since I've been in the program, my life and every aspect of it has been completely changed and renewed through Christ.
Truth is, God is doing amazing things in my life now. Truth is, my once broken family relationship is now growing stronger every day. And truth is, I'm now starting to be able to accept myself through the help of God.
The truth is, in March of 2008, I entered this program called Teen Challenge and dedicated my life to Christ. Truth is, I'm now the father God intended for me to be, and I now have my children in my life. And the truth is, through obedience to Him, I'm now the development officer for Teen Challenge Alberta. And the truth is, I wore this shirt because it brings my eyes out.
Absolutely. Thank God for this amazing truth. Jesus walked this earth more than 2,000 years ago, and He told us, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Thank you very much.
Even though we've all had different realities, we've all been changed by the same truth. The reality is the need is great. And the truth is the Lord is willing that none shall perish. What we have is a ministry where men and women can come for 12 months away from their past, their addiction, sometimes it's generational, rebellion, and have that time to find out who they are in Christ. What I'd like to do is give a warm welcome to Daniel as he shares a bit of his story.
Hello, good morning, church. How are we doing today? Doing good? Yeah, awesome. Beautiful day outside. My first time in Clive, right? It's a beautiful little city. Really nice, beautiful church, too. I just want to open up in a word of prayer. Oh, Lord God, thank you so much for this day that you've bestowed on me, myself, and my brothers and sisters here. And just thank you so much for being that good, good Father that we all need in our lives, Lord. And just always wanting to love us more and more. And you just want us, Lord God. And I just thank you so much for that, Lord. I just pray that you'll be with me during my testimony, Lord, that I show you that it's you, Lord God. All the glory goes to you, not for me, Lord God, for what you've done in my life. All glory goes to you. I just pray for anybody that's here today that needs to hear this message, Lord, that just you soften their heart and open their ears, Lord God, and just help them to be receptive, Lord. And I pray this all in your son's name. Amen. Okay. All right. So my name is Daniel. I am 26 years old, and I have now been in Teen Challenge for almost 8 months now. I was raised in a God-fearing home, and we were raised Christian pretty much our entire life. My life growing up was truly fantastic. There were ups and downs, like with every buddy's life, I think. But my life was nothing but loving. We went on many vacations to my homeland of Portugal, and they were my very fondest memories. All together with my family, most of my family still lives there. So, you know, all my family, good meals, good car trips, and just the beaches, the mountains surrounding me, just glorious country. So it was awesome. I have one older brother, and I have two very close cousins to me. They were like my brothers when I was growing up. And this is where sadness and happiness really started to come into my life. I loved playing with them, and I've always wanted to feel part of the group, but I always felt left out. They were about 4 to 3 years older than me, so they always hung out together, and I was kind of always in the back and kind of forced together to hang out with them. So I always just felt kind of neglected and rejected and alone. But I still felt pretty happy most of the time because my parents were just absolutely just so loving to me and pretty much my entire life. But I felt something inside when my cousins moved back to Portugal when I was around 10 years old that I can only describe now as a broken heart. I was very close to them, and I was more friends to them than actually my own brother. He's a great brother now. We have a great relationship. But when I was very young, for the first 15 years of my life, he very, very much bullied me. And I was bullied in school quite a bit, especially elementary. So it was a very bad combination. Even though I was bullied, I still did like elementary school and junior high school. I had lots of friends and had good grades and good times at home for the most part. But trying to find this identity in the world, I tried hanging out with the cool kids. And I tried smoking weed and smoking cigarettes in grade 7. And by grade 9, I've already tried other drugs as well, like MDMA, ecstasy, mushrooms, acid, and cocaine. It didn't really affect my life then because I tried it and I kind of stayed away from it. But it definitely started to affect a little bit of my attendance in school. But once I got into high school, my life kind of just started to take a little bit of a shift. I got new friends, and I started smoking weed on a daily basis. And on rare occasions, I was using cocaine. At that time in my school program, I was in a program to become an electrician, but I already knew that I didn't want this in my life. I was already so lost, and I saw my older brother, which was already finished high school, doing very well in this program, being an electrician. So I thought maybe this is a career I can get into. But it wasn't really the good decision for me, because while in that program, working with new people, older people, they were into the same things that I was just getting myself into. So, it was a bad combination there as well. And I was struggling inside very much. I was very conflicted. And I was feeling more alone in my own head. And things that in my extended home life weren't really that good as well. When I was in around grade 7, grade 8, a very close cousin of mine, an older cousin, sexually assaulted me on many occasions. I didn't understand what she was doing to me, but it felt good in a way. And I wanted to experiment more in the sexual world. So I started fooling around with neighborhood kids, kids in school. And I knew deep down it was wrong, because raised in a good Christian family, I knew that this is something that I didn't learn in the good book. But it just felt good. So I started to become active, and by grade 10, sexually active as well. And that's all I really like to do, is just have sex, party, do drugs, and just be the center of, that was kind of the center of my life. But all during this time, my nights were becoming a lot more affected. I would experience nightmares so real that I couldn't even sleep for sometimes for a week. And this is if I was sober or not sober. But after high school, my life just became about working. I stopped being an electrician, and I was just serving, bartending. I was doing a little bit of managing, partying pretty much all the time, and occasionally, to make my parents happy, going to church. But a couple of years later, after this life continued on, I kind of wised up. And I went to Nate to do some upgrading in my high school courses because they weren't that good. But I wanted to go to university to become a physiotherapist. And I was extremely driven. I got excellent marks. I got accepted into the program of kinesiology. But I met a girl when I was at Nate, and I knew this girl wasn't for me. But for the life of me, I just could not let her go. She just fit my perfect worldly desire. That's all I really wanted. So for the next 4 years of my life, we had a destructive on-and-on relationship, and my life seemed to be going pretty good in other areas of life where my careers were building up, but because of this relationship, it would make me go back and relapse into the drug use that I thought I've ended and I stopped. So I seemed to relapse twice a year, sometimes three times a year, and it just made me go spiral deeper and deeper into my addiction. At a very young age, I've always felt the presence of God in my life. And I knew that the Holy Spirit was always with me. I have many examples of this, but too many to go into at this time. So if you want to chat, I'll be at the table. But the more and more I relapsed, the more I felt God calling me back, saying, are you ready yet? Are you ready to come back to me and stop living in the world and come and live for the kingdom? But I just kept on going and going, and the more I relapsed, the more I felt that conviction, and God is calling me back. So I finally relented, and I started the process to Teen Challenge. My pastor told me about Teen Challenge about 3 years ago, and I told him that I was good. I'm fine. I can do it by myself. I have it under control. But I was very full of pride. My ego had a great hold on me. But on my 26th birthday last year, I told myself that if I were to relapse one more time, I would go into the program. And now that I'm in the program, I can see that I can only do this with Christ. He gives me the strength to do anything in my life, and it's amazing. My motto in life before used to be, what's the point and what's the purpose of life? Just to wake up and work. I didn't understand it, and this fed me even deeper into my addiction. But now, through the power of Christ, I fully and truly understand my purpose in life, and is to be a disciple for Christ, and is to bring people from the darkness into the light. After Teen Challenge, I definitely want to get back into my careers. I was working in massage therapy and real estate. However, I know without a shadow of a doubt in my mind that wherever God calls me to go, I will definitely follow His calling for my life, because that's what it's all about, is just following Christ, and God will lead you the perfect path. So I want to thank you very much today for listening to me. I want to thank you for your prayers and your support. It seems like Clive is a really good supporter of us, right, Dave? So I want to thank you guys very much for that. You know, prayers is, I didn't know before, but I know now, it's so important just to remember how God is, and just, it's a good, good Father, and he takes care of us. He truly does, and it's amazing what He does in my life and Brayden's life, David's life, and all of our lives. But I want to thank you again for the financial support as well. That's awesome. You know, without all these things, we could not operate as, you know, as an organization. But most importantly, I want to thank God for what He's done in my life and my brother's life. So the center, I've seen people very broken. I've seen them become full through Christ, and it's just absolutely amazing what He does. And He's a good, good Father. Never forget that. I want to leave you with some of my favorite scripture, Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. In James 4:7, therefore, humble yourself before the Lord, resist the devil, and he will surely flee. Thank you very much for listening to me today.
Thanks, Brother Daniel, for sharing from your heart, and it's great to have him in the program. He understands why he's there, and got a great support, family support network. I will let you know, as I mentioned, because we are completely faith-based, and I'm preaching to the choir here, but we are not government-funded. If we were government-funded, we would lose the very change agent, Jesus Christ, that gives us the success rate that we do have, and we're not willing to compromise that, are we?
Amen.
Amen. Awesome. I could take you guys on the road with me here. So in your bulletin, you did get one of these. This is our sponsorship form. One of the ways that supports our program is when you sponsor a student. It's $40 a month. You get quarterly updates. You get invited to their graduation. The national average when we do an outreach like this is 1.5 students get sponsored. I don't know how half a guy gets sponsored. But Alberta, we used to be at 0.25, so we'd have to do 4 Clive outreaches or 4 outreaches to get one guy sponsored. And by God's grace, Alberta's actually now at 3.0. So we're hoping not to go below that today. And we have Brother Daniel, Brother Brayden, and then another gentleman who isn't with us this morning, but we do have his sponsor card. I will let you know as well, we have a golf tournament coming up. We have one on Monday, June 4 in Edmonton at Highlands Golf Course. And all our staff and students will be there. It's one of the ways we support the program. If you're interested in that, come and see us at the table. We have another golf tournament on June 24 in Lethbridge at Paradise Canyon. And then our final tournament is in Calgary at the Sirocco Golf Course on Monday, July 9, if I can get all that together. So with that, we are looking to get, I believe Tim's doing an offering at the end of the service. Please don't put the sponsor form in the offering, because if you bring it to the back, we'll actually write on there who you want to sponsor and give you their sponsor card today. So without further ado, let's give Brother Brayden a warm welcome.
Hello, guys. My name is... A little nervous. Thank you. Okay, so I'm Brayden, 22 years old. I'm from Red Deer. But I grew up in a small town outside Cameron. It was called Killam. It was an awesome small town. Same 12 kids in my class from grade 9 to, or from kindergarten to grade 9. Was involved in sports, had a loving and caring family, went to church a little bit growing up. But I started drinking and smoking pot when I was about 13. The drinking was on weekends, but smoking pot was daily. This continued for many years. When I was 15, I moved to Red Deer with my family from my dad's work. Changing from a small town to a bigger city was a huge shock for me. I left lifelong friends behind and moved to something that was completely new to me. I got into the wrong crowd right off the bat, a crowd that was easiest for me to fit in with because of my addiction issues already. Within my first year in Red Deer, I went from smoking pot to trying any drug I could get my hands on. I found my drug of choice was heroin. For my 16th birthday, I was injecting heroin on a daily basis. I don't know how, but I still managed, just barely, to go to school, maintain a job, all while using. I ended up stealing from my family quite a bit, always ending in broken promises to stop. I lost my first close friend to an overdose, the first of many to come over the years. He was only 16, while I was 17. I've never been able to bring myself to go to a funeral ever since his. That moment reflects on me every day. I think about that and the emotions I went through. When I was 18, I started using meth alongside my new drug of choice, which switched from heroin to fentanyl. This mix of new drugs made my life spiral even further downward. I stopped working, stopped going to school, and by the time I was 18, I was homeless, committing crimes daily, living on the streets to support my drug habit. I ended up in jail for the first time when I was 18. Mad at the world and at myself for where I was at in life, I desperately wanted to change, but did not know how. Over the next 3 years, from 18 to 21, I spent that time in full-blown addiction, overdosing more times than I can count. And now I can only count for God keeping me alive for a greater purpose. I'm not quite sure of yet, but I know He's got a plan for me. I spent those years committing crimes, going to jail, and ended up in hospitals, all because of my drug addiction. I saw many friends die beside me because of addiction. One of the last times I was in jail, I was talking to my mom on the phone, telling her how badly I wanted to change and get out of the mess I was in. She told me about a couple of different treatment centers, one of them being Teen Challenge. I was hesitant about a year-long program, especially one about faith. Before I came to Teen Challenge, I had no faith in God, wanted nothing to do with Him, was mad at Him, and just not a thing in my life I wanted anything to be part of. So I chose a shorter, non-Christian treatment center in Calgary. After completing the program and relapsing, I ended back up in jail. I was sitting in my cell doing a lot of thinking, because really, when you're in jail, there's nothing much to do other than think. After a lot of consideration, I decided that when I got out, I would try the Teen Challenge program. After trying so many other things, I thought, why not? This couldn't hurt. If it wasn't for the support and help of my parents, I would have never found or been interested in doing the Teen Challenge program. Finding faith in God was the best choice of my life. Coming to the Teen Challenge program, I thought wholeheartedly that by the time I was 22, I would be dead because of my addiction. But God kept me alive for a reason greater than I'm aware of. And I'm so happy to say that I'm now living a Christian-filled life, full of purpose. God's helped me start healing my family relationship, something I thought was beyond repair. God's doing amazing things in my life, and I'm forever grateful for Him watching over me. So I want to thank you guys for listening to my testimony here today, the prayer and financial support you give the center. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Brother Braden. If being a graduate isn't enough, remind me why I do what I do. When I read his testimony for the first time, I just thought, that's why we do what we do, to stand in the gap for guys who, like he shared his testimony, it was a long road, tried half a dozen other treatment programs, and didn't want to come to Teen Challenge because it's 12 months and it's faith-based. You know, Bible camp for a year. Didn't want the God factor. Finally, after the last time in jail, says, okay, I overdosed 50 times. What do I have to lose? So I'm going to end up dead. Calls up Teen Challenge. He comes in. finds the Lord, on fire for God. He shared at the board meeting last week and is excited about possibly going to Bible school. So, you know, when you support the ministry of Teen Challenge, you're standing in the gap for guys like myself, for Braden, who just know Teen Challenge works. I don't know about the God thing. I'll just come in to get clean. And it's through that that you find the Lord, and it changes your life forever. And to have a mom who knows that your son has gone from jails, institution, overdose, many, many times, to know he's in a good place and now praying about going to Bible school. And so most people aren't aware, but when a student comes to Teen Challenge, they pay $1,000 tuition for the whole year. And when I called up the ministry in 2000, and I called in 2007, I got entered in 2008. It was a waiting list for probably about 3 months, but I didn't have that tuition. And I remember telling the intake coordinator that, and he said, "Do you have the $100 application fee?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Well, let's apply. If you get accepted, then we'll worry about the tuition." And before he hung up, he said to me, "Do you have faith?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "We'll see you Monday." And it could have been someone at Clyde Baptist that said, if someone shows up to your door and they mean it, don't let that tuition stop them from a new life. And because of that, my mom has her son. My children have a father. For us parents, can you imagine where your children would be if you weren't in the picture? It'd look a lot different. And whoever planted that seed of faith will never know. I've become the development officer for Alberta and have done probably 400 church outreaches, and all for his glory. And you probably wouldn't have trusted me with a loony on your dresser 10 years ago. You know, I think of Steve, who you've seen the footage. He was a rough guy when I met him, and he's now going to Bible school. So for standing in the gap for those guys who might not know what it's going to look like, but know God has a plan. What I'd like to do is bring you a little bit up to speed. You guys are one of our biggest supporting churches. I'll let you know that, so it's an exciting time when we come here. To let you know, bring you up to speed with what your support has given us up till now. We're now not only at 3.0 sponsors per outreach, but we're now in a position where we can expand. We have a 12-bed facility, but we're now going to a 24-bed facility. It'll actually be 32 beds, so 24 students, and then a spot for about 6 graduates who stay on and take a leadership role. We had a graduation on Friday night. 2 guys graduated. Both guys are going to stay on and take a leadership role. And if you met them, you'd be encouraged they did too, because when guys stay on, the success curve is greater. Let them take a leadership role, give back, be part of something bigger than themselves, build a resume. There's so many good things. So we're now looking to expand. Now, before I turn the first slide, has anyone been to the ranch? Okay. That's why I brought it to you. I'm going to take you for a tour. First slide, please. So what we have here, this is the ranch. This is looking west. Behind the center, this is in the Prittis Valley, is Fish Creek. And behind that further, I believe is the mountains. So this center's been here for 30 years. What we have on the far left, the chapel, classroom, and office, those are 4 ATCO trailers. Next to that, the study area and teacher's office, that's 2 ATCO trailers put together. To the right of that is the initial farmhouse that we did get. And in there, you see where it says dormitory. The dorms are quite small, 4 guys to a bedroom. With about this much space in between the 2 bunk beds. And so if I'm in there a month before Tim would get the top bunk. And I'm the dorm captain. So that's part of the growing curve as well. he's probably forgot more stuff than I know, but he gets the top bunk. I just share all that to say 12 guys, four guys to a room. For those that stay on and take a leadership role, right now we have five guys that are on. One bathroom for all the guys. Intake, a guy comes in day one. We just got a guy on Wednesday. We try to give the guy privacy, but we're having to go through the luggage and stuff to make sure he's got no contraband. Many times we got his stuff laid out on the table, and someone cuts through the chapel, and he's got his personal belongings there. So in the new facility, we'd like to have a separate intake area, dignity day one. Little things like, does anyone know the shelf life for a director at a place like Teen Challenge or the Salvation Army or Dream Center? 3 to 5 years. My wife works for a treatment facility in Calgary. I won't give the name. In the last 4 years, they've gone through 4 residential managers. So if you can imagine, you got someone that's coming from the street. It's high risk. There's a lot of baggage. Sometimes there's sexual abuse. There's generational stuff. There's addiction. There's mental health. There's all these layers. You come in, and there's management changes at the top all the time. It doesn't make for... You're only as healthy as they are at the top, right? As healthy as your pastor and the elders at the church. Our director's been at Teen Challenge for 12 years. In an ATCO trailer. No air conditioning. No smart board. Cold in the winter. Really hot in the summer. If you've been in... So our prayers, we can get Greg out of the, he didn't even have a leather chair. And then last week I was in his office, I seen he got a leather chair. And I'm like, you could have waited. Could have waited to get the chair. But anyway, you know what? I just share all that because God uses the foolish things to confound the wise. Alberta's got the highest graduation rate nationally. But it's time for us, we have the highest graduation rate, but we actually have the smallest center. The second largest need per capita for beds in the country, we have the smallest center. The praise report is we're already operating at what it's going to cost to run the new center. If we had the building, it would not only be funded fiscally, but it would also be full in a very short time. Our beds across the country are now at capacity. And that's nothing new in Alberta. It's always been that way. It's good sometimes if a guy goes to another province to do his program because it gets away from his old area. But if mom is now a single mom for a year and she's going to go see dad on visit day and she's got to go to BC or Saskatchewan, that's hard on mom, all the driving and so forth. It's hard enough with two, never mind with just mom. I was doing an outreach 2 weeks ago. Gentleman came to me after and he gave me his card. And it's the director from the BC Teen Challenge. He said, I just want you to know half of our guys are from Alberta. So we're expanding. We can go to the next slide there. So this will be the new facility here. The project's $5 million. We are hoping to break ground June 15. We're about a 1.2 million short of that. The reason why is we need to not only do the site prep, put the foundation in, put the shell and winterize it. We can't leave it exposed over the elements. So it's kind of like a big chunk and there's a time constraint. If we lose the June 15th end of June deadline, we lose a whole year. And so we had a shovel ceremony last week with our national board here. We've got the green light for the site prep work. We're about one. The drawings, the site prep work, the all the zoning we had to do, and the foundation winterized shell is about $2 million. We're about $1 million short to pull the trigger. But our board has said if we can raise $500,000 to $750,000. They will let us start construction as long as we continue to fundraise. So we are earnestly letting people know if you're considering supporting a legacy gift or something, that now would be the time. That would really help. Once we have the foundation and shell up, we have a lot of groups throughout the province we could bring in and say, hey, would you guys consider sponsoring a dorm, the intake office, the chapel? So we really could use your prayers for that. We can go to the next slide. So there's the dorms. On the right is the dormitory. It'll be four guys to a dorm still, but there'll be more space and a bathroom for four guys. We usually inherit a building and then shoehorn the program in. This is the first time we can actually build a facility around the needs, stuff like a separate intake area. We can go to the next slide. That's fine. You could just turn it back to the beginning. So all that to say, this is kind of an old update. yeah, we could use your prayers. The need is great, and the Lord is willing that none shall perish. We are looking to get Brother Braden sponsored. He's fairly new to the outreach, so you'll be one of the first people to sponsor him. And with that, I'm going to turn back over to Tim. And thank you again, Clive. You guys are a blessing to us, and we just wanted to let you know that today.
Well, thanks so much, guys. I think it was the first time Teen Challenge was here. I don't know how many of you were here then, but they did. You mentioned the choir.